First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Gentlemen, welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringsteen.com, where you can go for all the latest podcasts and any stories or anything we've got going on these days. We put out an excellent story today for your review. Corruption, collusion, you name it, who would think that would be going on in Louisville government? We set the stage. It's up to you to pay attention to it. And while you're at LouisvillePolitics.com, please join our email newsletter list, and we will send direct to you on a weekly or monthly basis any stories that go up. If you join our RSS feed, we'll make sure you get the podcast and reminders about the live show as well through your email. And while you're there, if you just are so inclined, we can always use the help to keep this little project going, as we've been doing for several years now. Please use the donate button, and that will help us keep things funded. In the meantime, numbers as always, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. For you guys on the listening queue, please hit the number 1 on your dial pad, and we'll get you on air as soon as possible. And the live chat is open. You can sign in with Facebook and Twitter. Now that we have all the business out of the way, how are you, Mr. Martin?
Worn out, Mr. Springsteen, as always.
Yeah, well, you know, that's seeming to be a way of life for people who reach our particular years of service in this world.
Suffer from a condition known as OLD.
There you go. And, you know, I was thinking about you today, so I really want to put this out for you, sir. Just, looks, you know, there's a lot of people out there who appreciate your service. We appreciate your service to the rugby community, and we understand that it's come to an end. So we wanted to be faithful to our brother, and you know. I had to do that. You know, we start the show.
Well, it had to happen sooner or later. You know, that's the thing. When you play sports, you and I have talked about that, you know, the sports you played. I'm a walking anomaly and have been for a few years. You know, it's when you got a bunch of 20-something-year-olds on your team going, come on, dude, you gotta stay with it till you're at least 50, you know, just to say you did it. I just stayed with it till 51 and played pretty well. But, yeah, you know, and I always figured it would have been my knees or a torn shoulder ligament or something that would have taken me out. But, I got a little bit of a compressed disc in the neck. And like I told the guys on the team, I said, you know, I said, if I was making millions of dollars for playing the game, you know, every weekend, I'd probably get a shot or something and say, yeah, I'm not ready to quit, but it's like, I don't get paid anything and I ain't getting crippled for that. So, but no, the rugby career is not over. Because looking at a couple guys that coached some high school teams, like, you know, love that.
Well, that was basically just a testament. Well, that was basically just a testament to the playing career is over. Coaching is an entirely different other thing. And I'll be honest with you, coaching for me, when I had to switch to coaching because of physical problems too, you know, to me, coaching was just as fulfilling, if not more so, than actually playing the game, because I learned a greater appreciation for the sport itself. But either way, man, I had to do that. You finally made the announcement, so here we go. We have so many things going on in this town. It's unbelievable. Today at LouisvillePolitics.com, we decided to go ahead and out some of the problems, or at least one problem we've been following. And I'll put a link to that story in the chat room for you guys. We got a whole lot we want to get through tonight, but I want to start with that, and I'll tell you why. As everybody knows by now, there's only been one reporter covering this covered-up lawsuit concerning Greg Fisher, our illustrious mayor. In December of 2013, just as a quick lead-in, I guess, a lawsuit was filed against Greg Fisher, a private lawsuit, not in his capacity as the Louisville mayor, but in his capacity as a private citizen. And, you know, so Greg Fisher is obligated to defend himself in that situation. But this is December of 2013, 10 months ago. 10 months later, we still have not been able to begin the process of any accountability or anything to do with this lawsuit. There are no depots. There's no deposition scheduled. There's been no discovery. And only because Greg Fisher has been using, in my opinion, illegally, our taxpayer resources and influencing the courts. He has tried to have this case dismissed 3 times. The first 2 times he was overruled by Judge Mitch Perry. This third time is just the latest attempt to have it dismissed. He has involved Ford Motor Company, who is not included in any way, shape, or form in this lawsuit. But for some reason, Ford Motor Company put themselves into this lawsuit. And I tell you, it's very interesting because you've got Michael Connell's office wasting taxpayer resources. We're paying outside private attorneys out of our taxpayer funds. You have a private employer in Ford Motor Company who has no skin in this game, paying for attorneys to help with Fisher's legal defense. And all of this on a private lawsuit. And if you sued me, I wouldn't have any chance or any entitlement whatsoever or any even reasonable expectations of getting taxpayer resources and this stuff. You know, so this is very, very disturbing. There's definitely a cover-up going on, in my opinion, and this story needs to be told. And I'll tell you why. You know, we talked last week and about GE. You know, we all know that GE is being bought up, you know, by Electrolux. Well, last week, the Courier-Journal brought this whole story back to the limelight, because they decided to put out this feel-good, lying, manipulated story they were fed by Greg Fisher and his cronies, because that's what they do, is they follow the Democratic Mafia line. And they put out a story stating that Louisville could potentially see up to 18,000 new jobs over the next few years. And, of course, this is because technology and worker training and all of these things that are all basically a lie. The truth is that since Electrolux bought up GE, or it will be finalized by the end of the year, 6,000 jobs will be leaving Louisville, as we discussed last week. Electrolux will be moving those jobs to their other plant locations, undoubtedly in North Carolina, where their corporate headquarters is located. And the reason this becomes significant, and we wonder why, is because Ford received about $300 million in incentives to keep the 3,000 jobs at Louisville Assembly Plant right here in Louisville. Yet when GE announced just a couple of years ago around the same time that they were having problems, were thinking about selling or moving, they were offered a paltry $40 million recently to keep 6,000 jobs, double the number of jobs that Ford has, in Louisville. So, I mean, you know, GE feels like they've been treated as a stepchild, if you will, and they really have. What does, I mean, I'm going to get into more of this story, but what are your thoughts so far based on those parameters?
Well, I would say, you know, it's, we all know it's the Democrat machine. They all show up. Of course, it's always one of the big contradictions for me is they talk about corporations that don't pay taxes, like GE, and then they turn around and give them tax incentives to, you know, to hire jobs, you know, $13 an hour jobs. You know, I'm just going to wait and see because, you know, on one hand, Electrolux is not union. You know, they deal with the union, okay? They're European, so they're there. So I'm not going to, you know, the union has a chance with these guys. But I'm just going to withhold judgment because I don't, you know, it would make sense with technology. You know, GE's done a good job developing some really nice products, so two of which are in my laundry room, by the way. And they are nice. But I don't know. You know, that is the thing about technology. You know, years ago, GE moved a lot of their manufacturing and outsourcing to Mexico. And I know some people that were involved with that. So it was, you know, I just go so far to say you just don't know. It would make you wonder at some point if Electrolux has, you know, at what point they're going to invest some money. They're going to have to look at it and think, okay, are we picking up legacy costs if we go into GE, which is, you know, a plant that's been around for a long time. So there are legacy costs. And
well, the biggest problem with GE, though, well, I mean, the biggest problem with GE, though, isn't necessarily the legacy cost. The biggest problem with GE's property is the biggest problem because it's an environmental hazard. You know, Electrolux is going to have to come in and spend hundreds of millions of dollars cleaning up that land. You know, GE's going to move and leave all that polluted land. It's not no good for anything until it gets reclaimed and all the other stuff. So that's the biggest problem. But really fascinatingly, what's really disturbing here, and this is why I'm going down that road, is because the Courier reported in the last year, several Louisville manufacturers, including GE, Ford Motor Company, Reynolds Metals, Atlas and Raytheon Company, teamed to address the industrial skills gap and fill the pipeline of workers that they need immediately. So this is what they're giving credits to all of these people for over the last year, 12 months. This is really the crux of the problem. This is why I'm bringing the J. Morgan versus Greg Fisher lawsuit to the table, is because the truth is that J. Morgan put together over $20 million towards this workplace training facility that we have covered exclusively on the air right here to put this facility in West Louisville that was going to take care of all of the needs of these of all manufacturers, including GE, based on what the Courier Journal is trying to quote they've done on their own in the last year. But the reality is this. This plan was put together over 2 years ago. The blueprint and the action plan that was put together that these guys, that Ford, GE, Reynolds Metals, Atlas, Raytheon, everybody else is getting credit for working with Greg Fisher on over the last year is nothing more than a lie. It's nothing more than a lie. You know, J. Morgan put the blueprint together. He's the one who put the money together. He put everything together. And what happened was Greg Fisher yanked it all so that his sister Lynn Fisher and JCTC could get all the credit and all the glory for it. And I tell you this, Lexington, one of the things that was mentioned in the article was Lexington is using this program now. We're trying to model ourselves after them. You know, Lexington stole this blueprint from J. Morgan as well. The program underway in Lexington was put together based on J. Morgan's blueprint, and it's an exact copy of the blueprint J. Morgan put together. Mayor Jim Gray and Mayor Greg Fisher worked together during that period over 2 years ago through the BEAM initiative to address these things and work on J. Morgan's blueprint. The only difference is Lexington Mayor Jim Gray went forward using Morgan's blueprint and federal dollars, by the way, not state dollars like Greg Fisher is now trying to put on us. You know, so these are the things. So Lexington's receiving the same federal funds that Morgan, you know, worked his ass off to make available. Jim Gray, the mayor of Lexington, is putting all this stuff together. They're receiving all of this money. They're doing everything the way that J. Morgan told them to do, wrote down, put in writing, blueprinted the article for success, everything. And Greg Fisher isn't. Instead, Greg Fisher opted to allegedly libel and slander Morgan, which cost him his job at Ford of 24 years. And that's the basis of the lawsuit, is the libel and slander. This is the craziness of it. So this is all exposed now. Everything is going forward. That's why I was exposed today. But does that change what you're saying about the Electrolux and GE thing, now that you know the background?
No, because I think, you know, the Electrolux GE thing is, the template's still there. And I think the one thing as far as training goes, the one thing you do have to watch out for if, when competing against North Carolina, is what's known as the Tech Triangle. They have there's three universities down there, and I do a lot of business down there, so I know it. They refer to it as the Tech Triangle. A lot of manufacturing and engineering type, and, you know, the not just things like, you know, electric appliances and stuff, things that require a highly skilled workforce. Yeah, they locate down there. That's where they do well down there. So. Yeah, as far as the training gap, depending on where in North Carolina this Electrolux plant is, we might have a problem. But like I say, remains to be seen. GE does, you know, it's obvious that the local, state, and federal politicians that have connections to this local, to this area, they're not shy about spending our money. So. You know, I said, let's go on the around and see this how much. That's what I asked the moment, if you recall, on social media and stuff. It's like, you know, well, GE's being sold. Oh, great, you know. Do all their tax breaks go with them, or are they going to renegotiate those? Is pretty much what I said. So,
well, you know, you look at all, yeah, I mean, and you look at all of this.
It's all on the table. I mean, it's entirely possible. And in big-time corporate negotiations, things never move in a straight line. I mean, these guys could They could talk some talk. They could, you know, let it be known who they're talking to or where they're looking, simply to gain leverage, to gain more tax breaks or maybe more free money or something they want. So, you know, you don't just come in and say, hey, yeah, everything's hunky-dory. We just spent many billions of dollars buying this company. But don't worry, everything's cool. We're going to stay right here. They don't do that. We're getting a lot of pressure from North Carolina to locate here. What are you guys going to offer? And then they're going to go right back to North Carolina and say, we're getting a lot of pressure in Louisville.
Well, we know that's how it goes, but well, we understand that. That's how it goes. But here's the reality here. You know, J. Morgan put together the blueprint. He's the one to put it all out there. He's the one that designed the whole plan. He's the one to put it all together. Jim Gray is trying to take credit for it in Lexington, which is a lie. We can prove that. You know, I've got evidence of that now, thank goodness. You know, the Courier-Journal is trying to push the mayor's water forward by lying and letting people take credit for something they had nothing to do with, trying to protect Greg Fisher. But here's the reality. Greg Fisher turned down federal funding. This is money that was already allocated, people. This is taxpayer money that was already allocated to be spent from the federal government, not the local or the state government. But he turned down $13.5 million from the TAA-CCCT federal funding program that had already been approved to be spent, $5 million from the U.S. Treasury, which is essentially cash to us, $3 million from a Joint Department of Commerce, Department of Education grant, and Governor Steve Beshear himself said that he was going to invest a few million dollars to make up, you know, a little bit of difference because we needed about $24 million. Instead, all that gets thrown out the window so Greg Fisher could go to the state and try to get the state to pay $50 million for this project through his sister so that she could be the beneficiary. And that's the thing. You've just doubled the price. Now you want the state taxpayers to pay for it, which comes out of our pocket more directly right here in Kentucky, which hurts Kentucky. You know, all these things are going out. And it's all nothing more than a fact, in my opinion, the fisher does not want to be accountable to what these grants would require. He would have to be accountable to where the money got spent. With the state stuff, he can control that through the Democratic mafia. And here's why I believe that. Because in 2009, during his race for mayor, Greg Fisher announced about 50 people, a 50-people team, finance team, co-chairs, who are going to be responsible for his fundraising and everything else. You know, I'll get into the whole list of names some other time. I'm not going to waste the whole show on that. But there's a few names that really stand out that are familiar to us today. And I'll fill in the blanks for the rest some other time in future articles. But let's take Todd and Jonathan Blue, for example. They get anything they want. They get every deal handed to them. They get everything they can possibly imagine or ask for. And we wonder why. Well, Todd Blue was part of the 50 people that were involved in that as a co-chair for Greg Fisher's fundraising campaign. There's political payback. Jonathan Blue sits on the 2014 board of directors with GLI. The executive director, president and CEO on the executive committee, Kent Euler with GLI, president and CEO, he was also on that same committee. And here's the kicker, and this is why Morgan versus Ford is so important. Gabby Bruno, she's the director for government affairs with Ford Motor Company. All right, Gabby Bruno is now the director. She essentially took the job that Jay Morgan had. Now, she is on the executive committee with GLI with Greg Fisher. She gets to sit there and talk with Greg Fisher constantly. So the reality is, to me, at this point, you know, you've got Ford involved. We wonder why Ford is directly involved in this, because they are scared that the truth is going to come out. And they can't afford the truth to come out because they were given $300 million that they're trying to protect from the state. Not federal taxpayer money, folks. State tax incentives. So Gabby works with Greg Fisher. You know, you want to know why Kent Euler is heading up GLI? There you go. Because he's been part of the Greg Fisher fundraising machine for years. GLI is hemorrhaging so many businesses because of this alliance with Greg Fisher and Kent Euler. This is not a real chamber of commerce. People ask why I say that, and quite frankly, it's because GLI has been bought and paid for mouthpiece of the mayor's office. They're a bought and paid for mouthpiece for the mainstream media and the Democratic mafia agenda. They have not done one thing to be a truly independent chamber, so that's all a lie. You know, so Ford is scared of something. You know, it's not hard to figure out that there's a cover-up going on, and I'm going to detail a lot of that going forward. And then, of course, we have to throw in Joel Frocht, a name that we mentioned last week. Joel Frocht is an attorney who's the husband of Judge Gina K. Calvert. And as we know, Gina K. Calvert has been campaigning from the bench during her court. We found that out last week. Well, Joel Frocht is her attorney husband, and Joel Frocht has been seen hanging around and hobnobbing with one of the key witnesses for Jay Morgan in this lawsuit. So Joel Frocht is an attorney that's on Greg Fisher's defense team, and he is hanging around with a plaintiff key witness, and there's nothing going on there? Nothing going on there? I mean, this is crazy. We've got corruption, collusion, tampering with witnesses, anything and everything you can possibly find illegal, in my opinion, in just this one case. And it's all linked through GLI, because now we have a public source to put these names together and how they're intertwined. Electrolux is going to take GE jobs out of Louisville because they don't give a shit about Louisville. Neither does Greg Fisher or anybody else. They don't care about the workplace training facility or training well-skilled workers to meet business needs. No, this is all about money and taking $50 million of state taxpayer money to line their pockets with on a kickback to take care of political cronyism. At least that's my opinion, Ed. How far off am I?
Time will tell. And of course,
that's a good safe answer. You
know, yeah, I mean, time will tell. It, like you say, you know, GE and the workers out there are productive. They make good products. So, you know, I think, honestly, they can hang with anybody as far as productivity goes. Don't know anything about Electrolux. Just looking at their site, they seem to be, you know, a pretty enlightened company for the most part. They have that European you know, that European sort of social responsibility slant to them. So, you know, I right now I give Electrolux the benefit of the doubt, give the workers the benefit of the doubt, you know. But, you know, you can't take anything away from North Carolina. That is, you know, for this kind of that kind of manufacturing, that kind of engineering, North Carolina's a tough competitor, and Electrolux headquarters are already there. That ain't something to be concerned about. But, you know, and then again, we don't know how far local, state, and federal politicians, you know, regarding this area, you know, affiliated with this area, don't know how far they'll go, how far, you know, how much grease they can put on the wheels as far as keeping Electrolux here. You know, we've seen as you've gone through and we've all watched, they can give away a lot of taxes and a lot of incentives and a lot of cash to companies to, you know, in, as much as anything, to avoid negative publicity. So,
the reality is they can't give it away. They do give it away, but we can't afford for them to give it away. You know, that's the basic problem. Now, it's just very interesting, and we're going to pay real close attention to that. Folks, what I put out today is just the tip of the iceberg. That's a warning shot is what it's normally referred to. And the fact of the matter is I'm getting sick of these clowns abusing our tax money, our public dollars, trying to destroy people's lives. Well, they've got lives too. And as far as I'm concerned, call me what you will, but as far as I'm concerned, it really boils down to this in this case, and then we'll move on. But any attorney worth their salt is going to tell you when you can't win on the facts, you bury your opponent in paperwork and you try to starve them out. The whole game is delay, bury, delay, bury, delay, bury. That's the plan. That's the way it works. And yet, you know, right now we've got 10 months into a case, and it's unheard of that you go that long without beginning the discovery or the deposition phase. And this is the problem with this case. As far as I'm concerned, it's all politically motivated. It's all politically tied. And what I put out there today, not many people know about, but it certainly is not all of the story. I actually withhold quite a bit, believe it or not. But, you know, these so-called leaders have abused the privilege that we give them by electing them to represent us and trusting them to do so. They destroy personal lives at their whim. It's not just Jay Morgan. They've tried to destroy mine and done a pretty damn good job at it. They do this to anybody that they perceive, you know, as a threat because they're too scared. They think that the Louisville is their playground. So as far as I'm concerned, it's time to name the names. It's time to out the cold, hard, ugly truth of these people, all these elected people. And roughly, I mean, it's just pretty much time to say enough's enough. So from Metro Council members on up to the mayor, the governor's office, and John Yarmuth himself, we're going to start outing their private lives. We're going to start outing their mistresses. We're going to start outing their girlfriends and boyfriends, if you're Jerry Abramson. We're going to start naming those people as well. If they're going to destroy private lives and personal lives because it's their own amusement for their own gain, then I think it's only time that we in Louisville quit being scared to do the same thing. I'll lead the way in that. Private lives and public lives by these so-called leaders are what's contributed to this downfall of what Louisville could be. So we're going to start purging, and I'm going to purge, and I'm going to go out there and call people out. I'm going to call out the boyfriends and girlfriends, the mistresses, and all the other crap. It's all going forward. It's time to put a stop to this. I'll pay the price for it, but that's okay. Somebody has to. But we've got to get this under control. And this lawsuit really, truthfully, was a last straw because I'm seeing somebody else being destroyed or attempting to destroy as they've tried to destroy me. And I'm not alone. I've seen it too many times. This is just the final nail on the coffin from the political patronage. So the Democratic Mafia will be named and it will be going down. Ed, we're going to move on to some other stuff. I apologize for being so long-winded on that. This has become a very personal thing to me. I'm just sick of it, man. But we do have other news in Louisville, Kentucky, believe it or not, folks. Our good friend Philip Bailey over at WFPL is no longer our good friend Philip Bailey over at WFPL. Philip Bailey resigned abruptly last week from WFPL. Nobody knew why. Insider Louisville's Joe Sonka knew why. He did a story last week wondering why Philip Bailey abruptly left. And lo and behold, just a couple of days later, Philip Bailey writes his first column that gets published at Insider Louisville, Joe Sonka's little website. So, yeah, they tried to play the game and it didn't matter. I'm curious to know why Philip left WFPL, but he is an author now at Insider Louisville. One of the first stories that he did came out the 3rd, just a couple of days ago. And, Ed, I don't know if you've seen the story yet, but I thought it was a pretty good story on Hal Heiner. Have you seen that story?
I have not seen that yet, no.
Okay, well, essentially...
Well, now I have a reading assignment when I get out.
Well, normally I wouldn't give Insider Louisville any credit or try to pass them any listeners or viewers because, quite frankly, man, they're kind of boring to read. But since Philip Bailey, I have liked Philip Bailey for so long, and he did do an excellent job on this story as usual, I wanted to go ahead and give it out there. But Philip Bailey talks in this article, and, you know, he's talking about Republican Hal Heiner ahead of the governor's race, and he announced that Heiner Political Action Committee, New Direction Kentucky, has raised over $250,000. But this $250,000 raise isn't for Hal Heiner. He's doing what Republicans at the top of the ticket should be doing all the time and never do, including Mitch McConnell. This is $250,000 raised through his own PAC toward helping the GOP win a majority in the state house. So Hal Heiner is actually trying to help candidates across the state, and that's why I like this story so much, because Hal Heiner is clearly setting the stage for others to follow. Would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we've talked before, and Hal's a great guy. I know him. You know him. He's a super guy. Some people don't. You know, there are things about his politics we may or may not agree with. But, yeah, I mean, he just even when he ran for mayor or anything he's ever run for, he's a straight shooting guy. And he's a put your money where your mouth is kind of guy, which, you know, doesn't surprise me at all. Because Hal, I think, you know, I do think he has the state's and the citizenry's best interest at heart. And he sees GOP victories as a way of doing that. You know, whether he wins the governor's race, you know, the primary or not, I think it's a great investment, and it's true to Hal's form. I think he's gonna, even if he, you know, right now he's got to be a huge underdog in the governor's race, but you know, rather than pout, rather than be a poor sport, he's looking at it thinking, you know, he's still a team player. He's still gonna give it a go. He's still gonna do not only for himself what he thinks the state needs. He's gonna do what he has to do to help others to get the state to a place he thinks it needs to be.
Well, I agree with you. And I tell you, I mean, you know, Hal Heiner's biggest problem is he's not exactly known as Mr. Charisma or Mr. Excitement. Hal is one of those guys who is focused, direct, and very much into business. I mean, he's probably the smartest candidate, bar none, who will enter this governor's race, in my opinion. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Right now, Hal Heiner will have my vote in anything he runs for. He'll have my vote in this election, and I have to say that right now. It's no offense against Jamie Comer, but Jamie Comer has basically been a public official since he was 28 years old. Department of Agriculture was not a stretch for Jamie Comer because he comes from a farm background, but Jamie Comer is a professional politician. He's not a businessman. He's a Republican version of the professional politicians in the Democratic Party. And that's the biggest concern I have with Jamie Comer. Do I like what he's done with the Department of Agriculture? Of course. I've bragged about it so many times. But that doesn't mean that Jamie Comer is the right guy for the job. And Hal Heiner as a businessman is, to me, the right man for the job. But what I really, truly love the most is the fact that Hal, you know, he's wanting to get people. He's helping people down ticket. You know, he could be out there trying to get that $250,000 towards his own campaign, saving himself some of his own money, because Hal will contribute to his own campaign. But instead, he's willing to share the wealth and share the direction and share, you know, the process. And I tell you, it's really interesting because Hal told, you know, in this column that Philip Bailey did, Hal told them that, you know, I know for Kentucky to move ahead and to compete with Indiana and Tennessee, we need new leadership in the House and a platform that includes tax reform, creating jobs, and cutting regulations in ways that are competitive, you know, with the states around us. So for him, and he goes on to explain, it's a two-step process. You need new leadership in the House, and you have to have a business person as governor. And I agree with him on those values and what he believes, and I agree with the plan to get there. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, politics is especially in the executive position, is more than just vision. you know, so I don't think if Comer wins, I don't think he's going to be a fine governor because he is a good politician. But, yeah, I think Hal brings, you know, Hal definitely has a vision. And I'd say the only thing pulling him back is the fact that he's not, like you said, he's not the greatest charisma guy. And in some cases, he's not the greatest politician. I've seen him piss off, for lack of a better word. I've seen him piss off some Republicans because, you know, if he doesn't approve of what they're doing, he doesn't approve of what they're, you know, he'll take issue with it. Oh, God. You don't need to do that right now.
You know? But that in itself, to me, is just another testament to Hal Heiner and why it's important to have someone like him there. If you don't have the right idea, whether you're Republican or Democrat or anything, if you don't have the right idea and he disagrees, he's not going to kiss your butt just because of partisan politics for his own gain. And that much I love about him. Something else I think is really interesting, Ed, I want to point out and get your thoughts on, because when you look at the contributors on this $250,000 that his New Directions PAC has already brought in, the contributors include Humana founder David Jones Sr. He gave $50,000. First Southern National Bank president Jess Carell out of Stanford, Kentucky. Him and his father, Ward Carell, gave $50,000. John Snodder, right here from Papa John's, donated $25,000. And here's an interesting thing, too. Former GLI president Doug Cobb also gave $10,000. So, you know, you look at some of the names on here and some of the players, you know, these are people that Hal is working with to try to make a change in Kentucky, and I find that exemplary that he's leading by example. How about you?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, like I say, Hal's got character, Hal's got consistency, and you gotta admire that. And like I say, the fact that he's, you know, as we know Hal, that there's nothing – this is pretty much him practicing what he preaches. The fact that he's helping down ticket candidates, that fits his character perfectly.
Oh, I agree totally. And it's interesting, too, because Jamie Comer, you know, as soon as he jumped into the race, one of the first things that he's done and one of the messages he's been out there on a campaign trail doing is trashing Hal Heiner, because Hal Heiner has given his own money as a personal loan to his governor's race. Well, the reality is, Heiner said that he was not going to do any fundraising on his behalf until after the November elections. So rather than go out and fundraise and compete for the money that people are spending on the November elections, Hal has self-financed his own campaign to date, which I think is another great example of leadership. But Jamie Comer is out there screaming that Hal Heiner is trying to buy the election. You know, and you can't buy the election. Hal Heiner doesn't know what he's doing or anything else. Trying to trash him for following up with his word and staying true to his word. But at the same time, Jamie Comer told us that he wouldn't have an announcement for governor until after the November elections. And he moved that timetable up into August, going into the heart of the election campaign for the same down races, the state house races and everything else. He decided he was going to announce in August and compete for that money after he said he wouldn't. So the one who's broken their promises so far to me would be Jamie Comer, not Hal Heiner. And that should be a concern we have to look at, too, when you look at a career politician. So there's a lot of things that are going to come to play with this particular race. And I think Hal, you know, normally I wouldn't spend as much time on a race that isn't even there yet. But I tell you, Hal has done an excellent job, and to get trashed for no reason was something that's disturbing to me, because I know the quality of the man who is Hal Heiner, and he is a classic guy. We don't even agree on everything, and I don't think that Hal would say I'm his best buddy or nothing, but, you know, you give credit where credit's due. So, and there's a reason we get into all of this stuff, because now we've given the Republican example of stuff, right, Ed? You know, we get accused of only picking on Democrats, because now I'm going to pick on a Democrat. great thing coming out of Allison Grimes' camp. For starters, let's put the spin out here. The Courier Journal put out another poll today that says that the latest Bluegrass poll shows that Allison Wonderland Grimes is now leading Mitch McConnell 46-44%. So she's got a 2-point lead, you know, which is a 6-point swing since the last survey that was done in the Bluegrass poll, because at that time Mitch McConnell was leading by 4 points. They're giving Libertarian candidate David Patterson credit for 3% of the polls, or in the poll. So, you know, we've got all these things going on. Well, here's the thing. Because I don't buy this polling, and I tell you why.
I'll get back to you in just a minute.
All right. You know, for you folks, I tell you folks, I don't buy the polling, and I tell you why. It dropped off because U.S. Senate candidate Alison Wonderland Grimes is finally getting caught in her lies. Yep, say it ain't so, I know. But she's finally getting caught in her lies. You know, the coal industry is a great example. There's a fantastic story out today. For you guys who don't know, there's a gentleman by the name out there of James O'Keefe. James O'Keefe is the guy behind Project Veritas, which has put out a ton of videos and proof and evidence of election fraud and voter fraud throughout the country. Well, now we have, they have decided to get into this race. So James O'Keefe, go ahead, Ed.
Well, you know, it's like I said, and I've posted that on social media, and I like to get the feedback of some of my liberal friends, and some of them had some good points. They said, well, you know, some of these people with Allison's campaign, they're volunteers, and Lord knows at the fair, the Republicans had their fair share of people who are volunteers or activists or like consider themselves officials. They can go off half-cocked. But these were, you know, party officials, maybe not paid position. But my only response was, I said, look, there's just simply no way you can put a positive spin on it when people who are working for your campaign, whether paid or not paid.
Well, yeah, you have to look at.
They're basically saying your candidate's full of crap, and we know it, but we're still going to support her.
Well, and that's exactly it, because, you know, she continues to say that she, you know, stands up for coal and everything else. Well, even her own party officials, Fayette County, Warren County, you know, these party officials who work for Alison Lundergan Grimes in her election campaign are the ones making comments. And I'll let you, I just put together a few seconds of from the video just to let you hear some of these comments. Here we go.
And I see the ads where Allison's up there talking about how she supports the coal industry. And then I just start thinking to myself.
You know, she has to say that. Because in Kentucky, if you don't support the coal industry, you're dead.
Right.
Politically. And I know that that's true. And I know that's why she has to say that. But, you know, when politics is a game.
Mm-hmm.
You do what you have to do to get to point B. And then you do, I mean, it's a lying game, unfortunately.
You can't be a statewide politician and condemn coal. You can't. You're not going to win.
It seems nearly everyone we...
I could have went on with that, but you guys get the gist of where I'm going with this. And the thing is, you know, there was a specific ask question to these Democratic Party affiliates and people that are working for Grimes' campaign. One of those questions was, if we can get her elected, do you think she's going to do the right thing and she's going to try to wipe out the coal industry and go for better resources? That was the question by the guy who's doing the undercover segment here. Fayette County Democratic Party operative Gina Best says, I absolutely think that she is. That's what she's going to do. You know, these are the things that go on. Her own people know that she's lying about coal. These audios and these videos were taken at Alison Lundergan Grimes' headquarters by her own Democratic Party officials and her campaign officials. So, you know, how is this going to affect the race going forward? I know Mitch McConnell will have this out in the next couple of days. I mean, he's going to get this out quickly. But rightfully so, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Don't you know that? Well, I think, you know, aside from wherever you stand on coal, I think the problem is, and I would certainly expect, you know, Mitch to take the, and, you know, for certain target markets like Eastern Kentucky and some portions of the Western Kentucky, you know, here's Allison lying about coal. She's all in to destroy your local economy. Well, and that's going to be effective. But I think just as bad is what you hear these people saying, not just Allison, but Democrats. And let's be honest, this is not specific to Allison and the Democrats. You know, the Republicans are the same way. Say what you have to say to win. You know, and that's we don't believe anything very few of the candidates here. Not 100%, no, never. But I think the important thing is here is what we're doing. It's like, I want to be your senator. I'm in my early 40s, so as I've told people, I do the math on that, and what scares me partly about her is I realize if she gets in, that'll probably be the last, you know, except for Rand Paul, that agreed to go, you know, he said he would go two terms. Like, basically, Allison's going to be our senator if she were to win until we die. And now what we've got here, and that scares me on one end. You know, it's like, oh, God, really? But I think more importantly is what we're getting here is the major race in the state of Kentucky, and we're being told that, yes, they lie. Yes, she's lying. Nobody seems to, and the thing is even worse is these Democrat officials don't seem to have a problem with it. Well, yeah, you know, you got to say what you got to say to win.
I agree.
No misgivings about anything. So I think it's an indictment of her, if it's true, which, you know, they didn't sound like backwoods hillbillies, you know, just speaking out of turn, you know, or something like that. But they, you know,
I don't
they
think that we can.
What we're getting is both the candidate and party officials and people who, you know, are party officials and working on her campaign. What I'm hearing is we've got a whole group of people who are responsible and have the power to do anything from regulate your ass out of business to tax you to, at least at a federal level, send your kids off to fight a war and die. And we're looking at this, and these people are just looking straight at somebody, basically saying, we lie. Like, oh, God. You know?
Well, I mean, they're basically saying we lie. We know we lie, but we don't care as long as we get what we want. And, you know, that is the big problem for me, because I tell you, you know, I am greatly disturbed as well from this, just for the fact that it was so easy for these Democratic officials and Alison Grimes campaign staffers to make these statements. You know, they thought they were talking to a friendly audience. They weren't being recorded. If they would have known, obviously it would have been different. You know, but, you know, Juanita Rodriguez, Warren County Democratic Party officer, says that she doesn't think Alison Leonard Grimes is going to back Cole. Goes on to say that the only reason she says she is because she won't get a high number of votes if she doesn't. And the reality is she has to get in there first, so she's going to say whatever she has to say or do. You know, that's part of the game. And when you consider the fact that we have Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, who blocked action just this past summer. McConnell had put a bill up that was going to block the EPA power plant regulations, you know, unless the agency certified that it was not going to eliminate jobs and it was not going to increase electricity prices accordingly. You know, he tried to protect jobs, tried to protect electricity prices, tried to protect coal, and Majority Leader Harry Reid blocked it. And Allison in Wonderland Grimes, you know, chastised Mitch McConnell for the bill. So I don't know what kind of proof we need that she is nothing more than an Obama and an ultra-liberal, progressive, communist party, if you will, wannabe for the U.S. Senate. This is going to destroy Kentucky. And I think this is great proof of that from her own insiders. You know what I mean? I think that's very, very telling, those statements they are.
I don't think Mitch, by any stretch, is white, you know, as lily white as the fresh snow. Not by any stretch. But what we're being told here, you know, I like to think what we're seeing here is a Democrat Party official saying, so she lies, we lie, no biggie. We're just trying to win. You know, that's all that matters. We're going to win. She lie, you know, if it gets us to win, so what? You know, hey, well, Ms. Rodriguez, I hope she at least tries to explain this to her children that, hey, Mom, didn't you, you said lying was pretty much okay, right? Cool.
Well, you know, that would probably be her grandchildren.
Let's go to her house on Friday night. It's where the party's going to be. You know, how about that? Yeah. But, and not amazing. I'm looking at a potential career. Well, she is a career politician who's potentially in the Senate for 30 years. And our opening salvo before she ever gets in is her own party people are saying, yeah, she lies, but hey, she has a decent chance of winning. So I'm thinking, great, you know. And guess what,
right.
Allison? flagged as a liar, but somehow I don't think it bothers you any more than it bothers your lackeys that are still 100% behind you, fully acknowledging that you lie.
Well, and
now,
that's it.
It's not like you're lying, you know, what did you blow on the breathalyzer? Oh, I blew a 1.2. When you blew a 1.3. It's not like that. This is like people's livelihoods. This is the cost of energy. And it's not whether you agree with coal or not. I happen to advocate some clean energies myself, but understand that coal has a place. But that's not what it's about, the lie. You know, let's step away from the politics and say, now, would you want this woman around your children? Would you want these people who are sitting there saying, hey, lying is okay, even on the big things, lying is okay? I don't want these people anywhere near a position of authority that they currently are. And if Alison Grounds doesn't have a problem with it, she's doing it right there in front of everybody with the big issue like people's careers and power and the environment, all this other stuff on the line. But I don't want her in power either. You know, and like I said, Mitch is not, he's not like a little white snow, but I've told people, he is old, so maybe this is his last go-around. So, but, you know, hello, Allison, welcome to federal politics. I'm Allison Grimes. I want to be your senator for life, and I'll tell a lie if I think it'll advance my political career, and you just have to deal with it. Thank you.
Well, that actually, you know, she actually reminds me of that guy that's working for True the Vote. They've been doing those little campaign videos with this Gil Fulbright. You guys need to look that up. Look that up online, folks. Gil Fulbright with True the Vote. It's a parody of he's a parody of the election process and the candidates. And that's who Allison Lundgren Grimes is reminding me of. You know, we're going to lie, 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 give me all your money, lie, 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 because we're going to do exactly what we said we're not going to do. It's just a matter of me getting to the game so I can get the power to screw you over, and that's exactly what it appears to be. You know, and on top of that lie, then you have to get into the rest of the lies. You know, she attacked Mitch McConnell for returning to Washington. Now, you know, we know Mitch McConnell is not Lily White, believe me. We have chastised Mitch McConnell in the past many times. But in this particular election, you know, it's the devil versus the devil. You know, which devil do you choose? And quite frankly, you know, is Kentucky ready to give up the power that would come with a Senate majority leader, or even if the Republicans don't take over the Senate, the Senate minority leader? Are we willing to give up, you know, to somebody who has already publicly basically admitted through their flunkies that they were going to sell out Kentucky and destroy coal? I mean, that's exactly what we're dealing with. You know, and she chastised Mitch McConnell for going back to Washington instead of staying in Kentucky and campaigning when they went back into session last month. You know, Mitch McConnell went to do his job, and she said he was running from Kentucky instead of answering to Kentucky. And Alice in Wonderland Grimes hasn't been in her office doing her job, apparently, since she was elected Secretary of State, the only elected office she's ever held, and she's only been there a year and a half, 2 years. So, you know, you look at this. She's out campaigning and getting paid by us to do a job in Frankfurt that she is not there to do. At least Mitch McConnell is out campaigning during recess. You may not like it, but part of his job as an elected representative is to use his recess to go out and speak to Kentuckians, even if that means he's campaigning. It's still speaking to Kentuckians during recess. You know, he is spending his time in Washington when he's supposed to be there. So you can't have it both ways, and that's the problem with the Democratic Party. They want to lie to us and tell us one thing and then do entirely another. They want to continue fabricating stuff that isn't there. It's all about the prize. It's not about you and me or we the people. It's about the prize. How do we get the prize? Who do we got to lie to? Who do we got to blow to get the power to do whatever the hell we want to do and satisfy our own ego? Because that's really what it boils down to, right?
Winning is everything. Winning is everything. And as I've said a lot of times, to me, it really is amazing how, you know, and that's probably one of the reasons that you and I aren't very good politicians, is I don't know how you can go home to your husband, your wife, your kids, and, you know, when you're exposed as a, you know, a sellout, a liar, somebody to win at all costs, you know, whether playing by the rules or not, whether telling the truth or not, and you're willing to do that in front of your own kids. And I just, you know, to me, sometimes that just blows my mind that politicians can do that. You know, it's like, you know, whether they go to Frankfurt and they sexually harass interns or whatever they do. And as you go
sure.
back home and you look at your family and your, or you do a shady deal to put some guy out of business, or you take care of some rich guy who doesn't pay his, you know, whatever. It's just all the dirty stuff in politics. And then you go home and you look at your wife and your kids or your husband and your kids in the face. And you just, I just don't know how they do it. You know, it's like, Mitch doesn't have any kids.
right.
You know, if Allison is in fact, and these people are right, she's just lying. Like, okay, how do you justify that? How do you, you know, I don't think you have too much trouble looking at her dad and telling him that, but probably that's my girl. But it just, it's always blown me away how they can just so casually move in and out of lives and play games with people's lives, and then how people just seem to continually take it. I don't know. It's just foreign to me.
Well, I'm in total agreement with you. I tell you something that's not foreign to me, though, is we're running out of time, as usual. You know, final thoughts, my friend. Go ahead.
Well, those kind of were the final thoughts. You know, it's like sometimes we implore people to get involved. We implore them to get mad. You know, stick their head out the window and scream you're mad as hell, you're not going to take it anymore. And so I know a lot of people in the state, obviously polling would indicate it, don't like Mitch McConnell. And a lot of people don't like Allison Grimes. But, you know, I think everybody pretty much likes themselves. So I just wish people would just develop, you know, enough outrage and enough cynicism all rolled into one where they can say, you know what, you lied to me. I'm voting for somebody else. But people won't do that because, you know, the way the system's set up, the two parties are set up to get enough people scared to they'll have to vote for the person they think can beat them. And that's just the way it's set up. But if people need to get some courage about them, they need to get some righteous indignation to the point that they look at everything from the candidates to these volunteers, as it would be. And they need to roll those two people interviewed out of office because, you know, fine. If you're telling the truth about where her position is, well, we appreciate your candor. But the fact that you're sitting back and not really offended or aghast at the fact that there's a, you know, a colossal lie going on, you think that's okay, you're going to get your ass out of politics. And the voters and the party people that have actually some sense of dignity and decency to them need to get people like that out of the party, whatever their party is.
Well, I totally agree with that assessment, and I tell you, it's just fascinating to me because we continue to see this kind of stuff. There was actually five people that were on that video, not just one or two, and of those five, at least three are campaign staffers. I could identify as campaign staffers. The other two, I'm not sure, volunteers or not. But the reality is, you're right. What does it say about America when we have people who believe that way about our electoral process, lie to get in, and then screw the people that elected you to represent them? That's a very disturbing trend. It really, really is. You know, and for me in this election, when I look at Alice in Wonderland Grimes versus Mitch McConnell, I'm kind of inclined to agree with a comment our good friend Cyzerus made in the chat room just a couple of minutes ago. It says, good little Democrats tend to advance pretty quickly. Just look at the president of the United States. And if you look at that in the broader context, folks, Barack Obama was a first-term U.S. senator. You know, when he decided to run for president, had no experience in that job, in that role, in that capacity, has made so many promises to the American people to get elected and has broken every single one of them and actually done the entire opposite of everything that he promised to do. So we know by example someone with limited elected experience, is going to sit there and lie, cheat, and steal to get the vote, and then they go on, you know, and looking at this and tell the American people, ha, I lied to you. What are you going to do about it? Look at every scandal that rocks this administration. Do we really need that at this time in our history going forward? Do we need another person like that with a good amount of power? And Alice in Wonderland Grimes, if elected, would be a U.S. senator with an enormous amount of power. Do we want to entrust that kind of power to somebody who is willing to lie, cheat, and steal to get there, and their own people don't believe in the lies that they're professing? That's disturbing for me. It should be disturbing for you. You know, pay attention. Look at the links we put in the chat room. I'll try to get them up on the website sometime later tonight. In the meantime, that's it for tonight. Thank you, Mr. Martin. And we look forward to seeing you guys. Thank you, sir. And Dale the Truth will be here tomorrow night, as always, of course, with his TNT Thursday Night Truth Show. I will return on Wednesday and Thursday night at 7, of course, right here. Same time, same channel on all shows. Have a great night. We will talk to you then. Take care.